In the name of God, our Creator and Maker and Redeemer and Sustainer, Amen. Good morning. There's a lot this morning about the law. And so I want to confess to you that sometimes in the past I've had a kind of a nebulous relationship with the law. Almost every morning I turn right on red and it says not to. And I always drive faster than 30 miles an hour when there's no one else around in the school zone. It feels good to say these things to you to kind of get them out. I didn't want to say anything last week because the bishop was here, but one time years ago, I was in Los Angeles and I got stopped by the LAPD because the car I was driving had expired tags. You know, it's a new state, new registration. Who thinks about the expired tags? And I got pulled over and they saw, I just happened to be wearing my collar. They saw I was a priest. And I happened to mention to the officer that I knew their captain, Captain Murphy. Because it was a time when we were doing a lot of work with gangs and the police. And so I was involved with the police and the gangs and worth victims. And so I mentioned, hey, I was Captain Murphy. And he went back to the car and checked with my license. And he came back and he said, okay, Father, have a good day. Just like that. Sweet words to hear. I think I took advantage of my privilege as a clergy to get off of getting a ticket. And you know, the clergy these days don't really have a lot of advantages. It's not like back in the old days. You know, in the old days, if you wore your collar and you went to Fenway Park, they would let you in to see the Red Sox play without buying a ticket. I think they wanted more prayers, I guess, for the Red Sox. But you just walk in, anyone wearing a collar could just go to standing room only. So the second, third inning, you walk down and you get seats. It was a good deal. But there's not a lot of advantage. But I do want us to think about this morning about taking advantage with privilege. Taking advantage of your power. Taking advantage, and in part, when we think about that, we think about the law and think about the scribes and think about the Pharisees and the fact that throughout the Gospels, Jesus was in conflict with the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the authorities. In Matthew chapter 23, there's a place where Jesus says to his followers, you should observe what the scribes and Pharisees tell you, but don't do what the scribes and Pharisees do, because they will tell you all sorts of things, but they don't do them. And they follow the details of the letter of the law, but they don't practice what the law is really asking us to do, which is to practice justice and goodness. Now, of course, it's not just the scribes and Pharisees, but as we know, throughout history, those in power and authority have gotten away with breaking the law. Those with collars, those with wealth, those with power, those with white privilege, those with straight privilege, those with male privilege have broken the law or used the law to their advantage again and again. Think of those ancient laws in Europe which allowed the nobles to take the land of the peasants while the peasants were locked up for taking bread. Or think of the voting laws in our country which turned away blacks from the polling places and allowed the whites to vote. Or think of the immigration laws in our country today, which randomly say that you're from a good country, so you can come in, and you're from a bad country, so you're not desirable. It's just like with the time of Jesus, and the scribes and the Pharisees, and the law is often randomly, capriciously followed, and it's followed in some cases, and it's neglected by those in authority, and they get away with it all the time. And so today Jesus is talking about the law and he's telling his followers, look, you know these laws. You know what the laws are. You know what the laws say. And he mentions three laws. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness, which come from the Ten Commandments. And he talks about this other law, which allows a man to divorce his wife. And he says, you know what these laws are, but let me tell you how you should really live. Because it's not just enough to follow the law, my followers. It's not just enough to follow the letter of the law. Jesus is asking us and demanding that we're not like the scribes and the Pharisees, that we're not like the rest of the world, but he wants more. So the law says, do not murder, and Jesus expands that to ask for more, and he says, you know, you really shouldn't do anything bad to people. And the law says, do not commit adultery, but Jesus expands that to ask for more, and he says, you know, there are so many ways to be unfaithful, and you shouldn't do any of them. And the law says, Jesus says, the law says that a man can divorce his wife, but he's asking for more, and he's saying, think about what happens to a divorced woman in our culture. And the law says that you shouldn't swear falsely, but Jesus expands on that, and he's asking for more, and he's saying to us, think about what your word means. In other words, again and again, Jesus is saying, it's not just enough to do the letter of the law, I want more from you. If you're going to be with me on this journey, if you're going to follow me to the kingdom, if you're going to be part of making this new world a reality, don't just follow the law. I'm sometimes, as I pray and I think about it, I'm sometimes not comfortable that I feel that God is asking more for me than necessarily from other people. I sometimes feel like it's not fair that of Christians we are expected more. And it reminds me of a time when I was in junior high school, when I turned in a paper that I thought was a fairly good paper, and I got it back from the professor the next day, and he failed it. And he wrote on it, Tom, I expect something more from you. And I went back to him, I said, you know, you've got the wrong guy. I'm not really that smart. And he said to me, you know, if you have good teachers, every one of those teachers will ask more from you. As you are not living up to your potential. Oh, I hated to hear that. Did anyone else hear that? You're not living up to your potential. What is that potential? Well, sometimes I think in many of our lives, we have an authority figure or someone who we want to please. We're aiming to do well for that coach, or for that teacher, or for some family member. We're aiming to do well for some person. Do you have someone like that in your life? You're trying to do your best for that person. I had my grandparents, and I would try and do my best for them and not disappoint them. And I remember when I had my first cigarette when I was 18, and I experimented with cigarettes for a little while, and then my grandparents discovered that I had been smoking, and I felt bad. Not that they didn't love me, not that they were super disappointed, but I felt like I hadn't done my best. And sometimes when I think about Jesus, when I think about God, I think about that. Not that God is disappointed in me when I don't do my best. I think God always loves us. But I think God and I think Jesus is asking always for a little bit more, that we are capable of so much more. And that God has placed into our lives a code, a moral code, that says that I have to care for that neighbor even though I don't like that person necessarily. And I have to work for justice even though sometimes it's just kind of a pain. And that I have to really, really love my family even though sometimes they get on my nerves. And I have to forgive. And I have to do this. And I have to do that. You know what the law says. I'm asking from you a little bit more. And so sometimes when I come in here and I think about Jesus, he's everywhere in here. And you look around and you see his face, or you read about him, or you find him in your prayers, I feel like he's offering me so much. And what's the least I can do? What's the least I can do? I could do a little bit more. I wonder if this week, if we think about what are we doing? How are we doing it? What are the minimum things that we're willing to give to God? I pray that this week, especially as we enter into the season of Lent. Lent is a time when there's a lot of work, a lot of action, a lot of activity. And I pray that we realize that in God, we are free to do anything we want. We can break the law. We can keep the law. We can carefully ignore those laws. We can watch the world and those who are in power abuse the law. We can watch that again and again. But we don't have to do that, because we are capable of more. We have to hold each other up to this moral standard that says you are not doing the right thing, even if you get away with it. Even if you're keeping the letter of the law, that my God has asked of me more. And so that's the least I can do. We have been given so much by God. Jesus has given us so much that the very least we can give back is a little bit more. Amen.